Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with The Antichrist Prevails, as we pick up in Daniel chapter 7, verse 21. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
And we are told this also in Revelation 13 as he speaks of the rise of the beast out of the sea, the Antichrist, that he makes war with the saints and overcomes them. Because the Antichrist prevails against the saints, I conclude that the saints are not the church. For we have the promise of Jesus Christ made in Caesarea Philippi to his disciples. When Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There's no way the Antichrist or the gates of hell or Satan can prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. So by virtue of the fact that the Antichrist is prevailing against the saints, they could not be the church, but will be redeemed Israel in the tribulation period. And he will make war against Israel. He comes to Jerusalem and he makes war against the remnant of the woman's seed or of Israel. But they are not church or the church. Daniel did not see the church in his prophecies. He was making war against the saints, prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, you remember Paul rebuked the Corinthians, those in the church in Corinth. He said, "What are you doing taking your brother to a pagan judge? You know, suing them before the courts of the land. You ought to be settling these things in the church. Don't you know the saints are going to judge the world?" And so judgment is given to the saints. We will be judging the world one day. Interesting. That's one thing I never wanted to be. Maybe I can just get a job picking up coconuts on the beach in Hawaii. But the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth," or the Roman Empire, "which will be different from all of the kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he will subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and will wear out the saints of the Most High, and he will think to change the times and the laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of a time, or for a 3.5-year period. Will he rule, coming to Jerusalem, beginning to make war against Israel. During the first 3.5 years of his reign, he'll make a treaty with Israel." We'll get this in Daniel chapter 9. But then he will break this treaty, which will start the beginning of the end and the countdown, the last days until the return of Jesus Christ. But he is given power to rule over these saints, the redeemed Israel, for 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it and unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matters, but as for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now, 2 years later, in the 3rd year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even as unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. A similar type of a vision. But in this vision, It came to pass when I saw that I was in the Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. And then I lifted up my eyes, and I saw, and behold, there stood before a river a ram that had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. The Medo-Persian Empire, represented by the two horns, the Persian Empire being the higher, coming up last, and was more powerful than the Median Empire. And I saw the ram, that is the Medo-Persian Empire, as it was pushing westward and northward, southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. And he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. So he was watching this ram, the Medo-Persian Empire, as it was conquering, but suddenly there comes this goat out of the west, Greece, with a notable horn, Alexander the Great. And conquering so rapidly that the feet weren't touching the ground. You read of the conquest of Alexander the Great, and it's amazing how rapidly he was able to conquer the known world at that time. And he came to the ram that had the two horns, which I had seen standing before the river. And he ran unto him with the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him. And he smote the ram and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stomped on him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great and was strong. And the great horn was broken. And from it, there came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Graphic prophecy, fabulous, interesting prophecy. How could Daniel know this except by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? That the great horn, Alexander, would be broken in his youth, 32 years old when he died. And the Grecian Empire passed on to the four generals, Syria, Antiochus Epiphanes, and then, of course, out of Egypt, Asia Minor, and Greece. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, Antiochus Epiphanes, who waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. Antiochus Epiphanes, who moved against Egypt down towards the south. And of course, in passing from Syria into Egypt, he had to go through the land of Israel. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host. Now we go from Antiochus Epiphanes to what he is a type of, the Antichrist, and we go on now right to the Antichrist. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stomped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking to another saint, and said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, 2,300 days, and then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, this, of course, is a prophecy concerning Antiochus Epiphanes. It does have a dual aspect in the fulfillment. But he's talking about this profaning of the temple by Antiochus Epiphanes. When he came to Jerusalem to show his utter disregard for God and for their beliefs, he sacrificed a pig upon the holy altar there in Jerusalem. And he sought to turn the temple into a pagan temple. This created such a feeling of incense in the Jewish zealots that Judas Maccabeus gathered together a group of men, and against insurmountable odds, came to Jerusalem and defeated the Syrian army that was there. Now, this is where the Feast of Dedication comes from, Hanukkah. They wanted to reestablish the true worship. And interestingly enough, it was 2,300 days after Antiochus Epiphanes had profaned the temple. Exactly as Daniel said, 2,300 days later, Judas Maccabeus and these faithful zealots had come and they were wanting to reinstitute the proper sacrifices and the temple worship again. But it was found that they had, of course, only enough holy anointing oil to last for one day there in the candlestick. And it took a period of about 7 days to prepare this oil, or 8 days, whatever it is. And so, by a divine miracle, the one-day supply lasted until they were able to get the new supply of oil compounded and made for the lights there in the temple. And hence, the Feast of Dedication, or Hanukkah, and even to the present day, the lighting of the nine candles to symbolize the miraculous preservation of the oil in the lamps during the period that they were preparing new oil for them. Jesus was in Jerusalem for Hanukkah in John chapter 10. It was, notice, in the middle of the winter, the Feast of Dedication. It was called. And it relates to actually the period of history of Judas Maccabeus, but it is prophesied and predicted here, the profaning of the temple by Antiochus Epiphanes and the resultant cleansing 2,300 days later by Judas Maccabeus. And so the sanctuary was trodden down for the 2,300 days. Now, there was a fellow by the name of Miller. He was a minister in the United States back in the 1800s. And he took and said, you know, 2,300 days is actually 2,300 years. And so he took the day that the temple was profaned and he added to that 2,300 years. And he said, Jesus is coming in the 2,300 years after the profaning of the temple. And so he picked a date in 1844. That he had determined Christ was coming, and they got white robes and they went out in the hills there in Illinois and waited for Jesus to come. After a couple weeks, they had sold everything, sold their houses, farms, everything else, so certain the Lord would come. And of course, when the Lord didn't come, the group that were known as the Millerites sort of disbanded. But then a lady came along, Ellen G. White, and said, oh, Jesus at this point cleansed the sanctuary in the heavens. He entered into the sanctuary and cleansed it in the heavens. And so she developed the Seventh-day Adventists, and they follow her writings and so forth, which it turns out aren't necessarily her writings. She was a plagiarist and has copied from other books and so forth. Which some of their own scholars are discovering nowadays and exposing and getting kicked out of the Seventh-day Adventists. It's quite a stir that's going on in that particular denomination right now. At any rate, they took the prophecy from here in Daniel, but there is no basis whatsoever to make the 2,300 days 2,300 years. That's not good biblical interpretation or exegesis or whatever. Now, the Lord interprets the whole thing for Daniel. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he, that is Gabriel, came near to where I was standing. Gabriel is an interesting angel. He's going to be a fun one to meet, too. We'll talk more about him next week as we meet him again in chapter 9. We meet him during the Christmas season. He's the one that came to Mary and told her that she was to have a child. He came to Zacharias, the priest, and let him know that his wife Elizabeth would have the child John the Baptist. He said, how can I know this? He said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. They got to lie to you, man? And he is a very interesting angel. Here he's commanded, explain to the fellow what it's all about. So he came near where I was standing, and I was afraid, and I fell on my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, this vision is going to take you out to the time of the end. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make you to know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. Now the ram which you saw having two horns, we don't need to question what is the ram, for he tells us they are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Greece. And of course, this is when Greece was nothing. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, or Alexander the Great. That is the first king during the time of its conquering. Philip, Alexander's father, did not conquer or begin any kind of a world conquest. That would be the first king in its conquering efforts. Now that being broken, Alexander dying at 32 years, whereas four stood up, there will be four kingdoms that will come out of the nation, but not in the power of Alexander the Great, which was true and did happen. And the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to a full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty. And this, of course, is referring now to the Antichrist, but not by his own power. We read in Revelation 13 that this beast that arises out of the sea, that Satan gives unto him his authority and his power. So this man of sin is going to arise. He's going to be tremendously powerful, but not his own power. It will be Satan's power that will be vested in him. All of the power of Satan will be given unto man, this man. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy awesomely and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. He's going to make war against Israel, ultimately. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace will he destroy many. He's going to come on with a program of peace and be hailed, really, as the Savior of the world. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he will be broken without a hand. The brightness of the coming of Jesus Christ, with the word that goes forth out of the mouth of Christ, the Antichrist will be broken and destroyed without a hand touching him. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Just close it, because it isn't for now, it's for the future. And I, Daniel, fainted, and I was sick for certain days. And afterward I rose up, and I did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. It was all before the fact. No one understood it. He just wrote it. And of course, that's an interesting thing. I don't understand it. This is weird, you know, but this is what it was, you know. Now we look at it, we say, wow, that's so clear. Man, that's interesting how he could write with such clarity things that had not happened, you know. But that's because we're looking at it from this standpoint and we can see where it was fulfilled. Whereas Daniel, Grecia, man, that little area of Grecia, what's over there, you know? How can they ever destroy the Persian Empire? And yet, in time, it all was fulfilled. As we get into the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, I think that it does possess really the key to the understanding of all of prophecy. If you understand the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, the whole subject of prophecy will become very clear to you. If you're garbled on the 9th chapter of the book of prophecy, your whole prophetic picture will be garbled. The 9th chapter is the key to the understanding of the subject of prophecy. And so we'll be spending a lot of time next Sunday night in the 9th chapter because I want you to get the key. Because if you can get this chapter, then prophecy shouldn't be a problem for you ever. Everything will fit together perfectly if you get this 9th chapter. So next week, we'll finish the book of Daniel, Lord willing, but paying special attention to the 9th chapter of this prophecy of Daniel.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Daniel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Daniel 7 through 8 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you. May the Lord watch over you and keep you in His love and in His grace. May the Lord cause you to abound in every good work for Jesus Christ. And may the Lord grant to you new dimensions of relationship with Him, that you might become more keenly aware of His presence with you and His power to help you. May God bless you. May you have just a fruitful, blessed week walking with Jesus Christ.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Lord, I believe in You. I'll always believe in You.
It is by faith that you've been walking into one level of spiritual maturity to another. Faith is the key to a successful Christian life. And that is why the Word of God tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It was faith that led Abraham into the land of promise. It was faith that led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. It was faith that enabled Peter to step out of the boat and to walk on water. The question is, what might faith do in you?
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, Faith, or to preview a chapter for free online, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-9673.